Technorama episode 334 for February 22nd, 2012. We warned you.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Most college kids end up going somewhere warm for spring break. Where did you end up going?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for February 22nd, 2012. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
Good. What? No witticism or clever phrase?
I'm sorry, Chuck. I can't do that.
Oh, touche. Nice touch.
Yeah.
Well, did you have President's Day off?
No. How about you?
Yes, I did, but I totally forgot until Friday. When the 2012 company calendar came out, I put them all on there, and I don't know what happened, but I accidentally put Tuesday as company holiday. And it says,
Tuesday.
Day off. I don't know why. So I'm looking at the calendar for next week, totally oblivious. I'm like, do I have Monday off? I must not have Monday off. Planning to work. The customers got the day off. All my colleagues think, you know, they're saying, oh, we'll talk about that on Tuesday. And I'm really confused. And then I get this note on Friday that says, everybody enjoy your 3-day weekend. Like, I guess I've got Monday off.
That meant you missed all the mattress sales.
What?
On President's Day.
Because I need a new mattress really bad.
Yeah, you know, they have all the sales. Yeah, I will.
Coming up in this episode, we have a school that encourages better grammar with a ban, a job interview test from yesteryear, and we'll make you wish you were dying.
Just listen to the end of the show.
This is Steve Wozniak. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Welcome back. We want to give a shout out to the chat room. We've got, wow, it must be Oscar night or something. Where is everybody? We've got Tim Elliott. Eric Rice was here earlier, and as was Clinton, but I guess they had to go find out who won best actor in a podcast or something. I don't know.
Best actor in a podcast.
It wasn't us. So we will turn to the birthday calendar. April? No, February. February 23rd is Zaha Doom. We have not heard from Zaha Doom in quite a while, have we?
No, it has been a while.
Also on April 23rd, Keith Hughes, a.k.a. Ed Gizmo. February 25th is Norbert. 25th is also Sandy Shepard. Mark, you have 3 days from the time this podcast comes out to get your lovely wife a birthday present.
Thank you for this PSA.
We're better than Siri. Paul Dove, a.k.a. Almer from Malmesbury, UK.
Malmesbury.
Okay.
Malmesbury.
We'll go with that. Is the 29th, so he only has a birthday every 4 years. And this is one of the years we wish him a happy birthday. What is he, about 6 now?
Yeah, something like that.
If you want to be on the Technorama birthday calendar, we'd love to give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. Just go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. If this is your birthday and you didn't get it around this time, we wish you a happy birthday anyway. Want to listen to us or watch us live? You can hang out with us on Sunday nights, 8:30 Central, on a Google Plus Hangout is what we're doing these days.
Those letters, let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh boy,
mailman, mail today.
we have a voicemail, Craig.
What? What you say?
We do.
Chuck, you got another phone call.
Who is it?
Bruce Barr?
OnStar?
Bruce Barr!
Juice Barr?
Bruce Barr!
I don't know what you're trying to tell me. Have him leave a message.
Hey, Second Craig, this is Bruce. That's what I call. Make a couple comments about the show. One was, Chuck, you made... I went back and listened to it again, and you did put the, I guess, accepted disclaimer at the beginning, first PC game, which nowadays, of course, PC has... PC personal computer got subsumed by IBM and got turned into IBM PC. So PC is really short for IBM PC. However, that game on DOS was by far not the first game to be played on a personal computer before the IBM PC ever came out, or even the first game to be using software that was produced by Bill Gates, because really Microsoft was started, if we all remember, by Bill Gates and Paul Allen to write basic interpreters for personal computers that did exist before the IBM PC came along. Anyway, slight QC quality, although you did say PC, which everybody accepts as IBM PC now, it's kind of the shortened version. That's a personal pet peeve. So, Alcatraz, I know you've went out there, Chuck, and worked with them at Alcatraz and everything like that. I'm watching with interest this new show that's on TV, the Alcatraz show, where supposedly all of the... It didn't indeed close in 63, but actually what happened was all of the prisoners just mysteriously disappeared, and now they're coming back. It's an interesting kind of show, especially if you like Lost. Although, really, because it's the same, you know, guys... Of course, it's nothing like Lost because it's an island in the Pacific and early there, and people make these weird time shifts. No, it's nothing at all like Lost. Okay, so anyway, I have a personal story about Alcatraz. My father, after he got out of the military in 49, it would have been, it was when he was in the military, and he was just young enough to miss World War II, but was in the military after high school. And after he got out of the military, he was back in Springfield, down in the Ozark Mountains, where my mom and dad grew up. And my mom was going to school. He was going to college. And he was working at the federal prison hospital that is located in Springfield, Missouri. Not too many people, I guess, know this unless you live around here, but all the hospital facility in Springfield is used by all the other federal penitentiaries when it gets too difficult for them to treat the patient. They would ship them off to this hospital that was also a federal penitentiary, so they could be detained and yet get the medical treatment that they needed. Later in his life, one of the most famous people ever to reside in Alcatraz, the Birdman of Alcatraz, which his story, of course, was made into a book and even a very famous film back in the 50s.
Stop laughing, Craig.
The Birdman of Alcatraz ended up there in that facility in Springfield, and the story, as my dad related it to me, was the whole thing about feeding the birds and taking care of the birds and everything was to get a hold of bird seed so that he could ferment it and make himself some homemade moonshine. So, anyway, kind of funny how these things, it all depends on your point of view, right? Anyway, so that's my personal story about Alcatraz. I have been to the SF area. I used to work for a company that was headquartered just south of San Francisco, and been there many times, have looked out on the bay, but never went over there on the tour. So maybe I might have to do that if I get back out there again. Enjoying the show, as I always have, and you guys keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
I thought the Birdman of Alcatraz was trying to start the first Twitter client.
Hey, I do want to add that prison engineering is awesome.
Prison engineering?
All the little things that they have to think of to actually do something that they're not allowed to do.
Oh, you have to think like a prisoner.
Yeah, you know, it could be anything. Yeah, I'm not talking about like putting your tools in a cake. I'm talking about, you know, you know, or trying to get the birdseed to make
moonshine,
you know,
or grog or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive, right? To a degree.
Thank you very much, Bruce. If you want to get in touch with us the way Bruce did, you can call us on the listener line, 206-222-2428, or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com, and we will do our best to get that on the show. On this day in history for February 22nd, 2012, it was on this date in 1632 that Galileo's Dialogue Concerning the Two Chief World Systems is published.
And on the same date in 1879, Utica, New York, Frank Woolworth opens the first of many of Five and Dime Woolworth stores.
The United Kingdom sells a meteorological station on the South Orkney Islands to Argentina today in 1904. The islands are subsequently claimed by the United Kingdom in 1908.
And U.S. President Calvin Coolidge becomes the first president to deliver a radio broadcast from the White House on the state in 1924. This was 2 years after President Harding brought the first radio to the White House. Wow, that is impressive.
And today, 1995, the Corona Reconnaissance Satellite Program, in existence from 1959 to 1972, is declassified.
It was exactly 1 year ago today that an earthquake measuring 6.3 in magnitude strikes Christchurch, New Zealand, killing 181 people.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to German mathematician Carl Wilhelm Borchardt, born today in 1817.
Also born today in 1824, French astronomer Pierre Janssen.
Russian mathematician Nikolai Sonin was born on this date in 1849.
And on February 22nd, 1857, German physicist Heinrich Rudolf Hertz was born.
This time a Swiss physicist, 1878, Walter Ritz was born.
Danish physical chemist Johann Nicolaus Brugsted was born today in 1879.
Also born today in 1880, Hungarian mathematician Frigyes Riesz.
Yeah, and another physicist. Imagine that.
Was this Physicist Day?
Yes, Physicist Day. German physicist Fritz Trostmann was born today in 1902.
The world's tallest man ever, measuring 8 feet, 11.1 inches, or 2.72 meters, Robert Wadlow was born in the state in 1918. Doesn't he kind of remind you of a really tall Bill Gates?
It's the glasses, man. The crocodile hunter Steve Irwin would have been 50 today.
And finally, one of the two men who brought us the Mortal Kombat video games, Ed Boon, turns 48. And that's the way it was on this day in history for February 22nd, 2012.
Impending news, everyone!
First up in the news, it turns out that the Springs Academy in Sheffield has banned students from using slang and text speak, that's in quotes, while on school grounds. The Academy says its students, mostly children from working class families, stand a better chance of landing a job later in life if they learn to be less reliant on slang phrases early on. You know what I'm talking about, where you have like, you know, TTL for talk to you later, or LOL. Laughing out really, loud.
I know I don't, but do kids nowadays, do they use these talking to each other?
Yeah, they do.
LOL, man.
No, but it says the policy applies to such common colloquialisms as cheers, hiya, T-E-A or ta, which is short for thank you, and saws, which is short for sorry.
People say cheers all the time. What?
When you're ending a phone conversation or something, sure.
Or European.
All right, this is a quote from Kathy August, deputy chief executive of the trust that runs the school. What we want is to make sure that they are confident in using standard English. Slang doesn't really give the right impression of the person. But some, including South Yorkshire MP Angela Smith, a former English teacher, are wondering how the Academy plans to enforce the ban and whether they even should. I really think they have set themselves a task that is impossible to achieve. Smith is quoted as saying, who is going to adjudicate, who's going to educate is a better question. Who is going to say slang, dialect, or accent? and which one is right and which one is wrong. If the school is truly interested in training the kids for real-world situations, perhaps they should be encouraging slang usage. According to a recent survey, 1 in 4 Brits have admitted to using text speak in everyday conversations.
LOL.
OMG. I'm for it. I don't think it's, I mean, it can only benefit people to know how to speak proper English.
You know who this benefits? This benefits the phone companies.
Why?
Because then now they got to spell out all these words.
No, they're saying don't use it when you're speaking.
Okay.
And if it shows up on an English paper, I definitely mark them down.
Well, of course, I wouldn't want that. LOL.
Our next story, NASA pulls the plug on the mainframe computer era. It's the end of another era at NASA. I remember all the old jokes where I used to say, hang on, I sent your phone bill out to NASA so they could do the number crunching on it. And it came, you know, boom, it comes back with this big stack of fanfold paper.
Well, guess what? They're doing that now.
That was a standing joke for decades. Well, it's the end of that era at NASA, although this one was perhaps more inevitable than others. Chief Information Officer Linda Cureton announced in a blog post over the weekend that the agency's last mainframe computer was shut down this month, marking the end of decades of room-filling computers.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So what are they using? Are they just using...
a smartphone.
They're using whatever was in the Apollo 11 capsule.
Yeah.
You know, they always say that this calculator has more computing power than the spaceship that brought the astronauts to the moon.
Well, it does. What were they using it for, did it say?
No, but it's probably time they upgraded to, you know, more conventional rack and stack kind of servers. Distributed computing.
Guess they'll send it off to the Computer History Museum. Remember that server room we saw?
Ooh. Or Smithsonian. You can use it to prop up the shuttle.
That was the cool part. When we went to the Computer History Museum and they took us into that server room, and not only were there old servers in there, the older guys in there repairing the old computers.
That's because those are the guys, that was their job back in the day.
Oh, well, so they were actually part of the collection.
What does it make you wonder what we're going to be doing when we get to be that age?
Yeah, we're podcasting in some room. Wait.
Yeah. We need you to maintain some of that old script you wrote. Ah!
Yeah.
All right. A few weeks ago, we talked about a video that said it was a public service announcement for don't walk and text at the same time. Well, it is a bad idea. And now we have proof. There's a newscast on CBC News where this newscaster is in the foreground telling about some spending report that's going on. And he's just merrily talking along. Totally unrelated. There's this lady in the background coming down the steps from this building, and she face plants big time. She's walking along going, textity, textity, tech, wham! And she doesn't get up real quick, which makes me think she kind of got seriously hurt. So these other people are crowding around her, and the guy is still going on oblivious to what's happening. Seems like that would have taken over the story right there.
Yeah, there was your news. It was happening behind you.
Now, I'm not making light of the lady falling, but, you know, you watch this video through the show note links, and it is kind of funny to watch.
Hey, I did... Speaking of that same thing, there was this app that came out for the Android phone where it would take your camera and it would make your screen transparent and superimpose it over the camera image.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're texting, you can actually see what's coming at you so you don't run into a pole or something.
Oh, yeah. What was that called? A heads-up display or something where it's you're texting along and all of a sudden the phone will warn you? Car.
You could see it, you know, it would make it transparent, make the desktop transparent.
Just look up. Get your head out of your phone once in a while.
Hey, you know what? If you got something important to text, stand still.
Right. Get out of the way. Observe proper protocol. And get on with life.
Just do it while you're driving.
No, we don't advocate that. Craig is not a spokesman for anything.
Yeah, quit walking around. Just do it when you're driving, when you got nothing else better to do.
Speaking of idiots, which we seem to do a lot of on this show.
Hey, what are you talking to me? What are you looking at me for?
None of our listeners, of course.
Uh-huh.
Some lamentable sucker in California sold a locked safe on eBay for the sum total of $123 US. And get this. He says, with a warning, What you see is what you get. Nothing more and nothing less. That was the quote. The nothing less bit came back to bite him in the accumulation of wealth when the buyer cracked open the safe and found $26,000.
Yay!
Seller called himself the stupid idiot. The stupidest idiot, I'm sorry. But didn't have the combination to the safe and just wanted to flip a piece of junk on eBay for a few easy bucks. Tough to fault that, really. I mean, we all have things lying around that we want to just unload and make a few easy bucks, but he didn't realize that it really wasn't a good investment.
See, like me, I would start thinking all the times I needed money in the last however long I had that safe, you know, and I could have opened it the whole time. And
you couldn't open it. He didn't have the combination.
No, I'm just saying, you know, the whole time you could have, your money was sitting there. You just didn't know it.
So are people going to start rushing out to eBay and start buying other safes?
Unopened safes.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
You know, I thought of one that I need to add to that. You remember when? You need to remember when you loaded software with floppies and CDs, because that's becoming more and more of a rarity. I had my sister last weekend upgrade iPhoto just by clicking on it. $15 later, she's got the latest iPhoto. I was like, that's so easy. That's the way it's going to be. So, anyway, speaking of eBay, there is a rare working...
Thanks for that little anecdote there, Chuck.
I know, it was funny when I thought of it, like most things. There is a rare black Apple II on eBay. Actually, there was one last week, too, but it wasn't working. Yeah, this one actually works. And it's currently going for $405. It'll be open until just before this podcast actually hits the airwaves. For a short time, Bell and Howell was licensed to make black Apple IIs. And they had extended audio-video capabilities. It almost looked like this backpack in the back of the CPU, you know, that had like AV ports and whatnot. But came with the black full-height disk 2 drives and... I always wanted one of these. These are kind of cool looking.
They are cool.
But I'll stick with my 2E.
I saw one in the past, but I didn't think much of it. And it's funny. You can see that's just painted on. You can see the paint chipped, and there's the beige under it.
Yeah, and it's not so much black. It's just like a charcoal gray.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have to get... You know, the new metal decal sticker that goes on there says Bell & Howell, licensed from Apple Computer Inc., et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Don't those keyboards look funny? They have, like, no number pad, only two cursor arrows to go right and left. There's no up and down.
Yeah. You want three dimensions here.
I remember the first time I sat down at a PC and you got the 101 key keyboard. And like, wow, look at all these. There's function keys and all this. Like, this is overwhelming.
I was just thinking about something you said. You said it was like it had extended video capabilities on the. It was like a thing hanging off the back of the CPU.
Yeah.
All right. You referred to the computer itself as a CPU.
Right.
How many times have you had to tell people that that's not your hard drive? You know, like you're trying to describe. Like I would try to tell people, okay, you can bring your computer to me. That's fine. Just bring just the tower. What's that? You mean the hard drive? You know, how do you describe the
part with the cup holder? Yeah.
Yeah, the cup holder. Bring the cup holder. Isn't it funny how people always thought that was the CPU? And I'm, you know, my technical mind's thinking, no, the CPU is a little chip inside. You know, but they're thinking it's the box, you know.
That is the box. I mean, was the box at that point because the floppies were external. The peripherals were external. The only thing that it really had was the keyboard.
Yeah, I'm not really referring to this one in particular. I'm just thinking... How many times have you had to describe to somebody, well, bring me the
none, because I didn't want him to bring it to me.
Yeah. Ah, forget it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, bring it to the PC store down the street. In 1962, you know, we were just starting to send people into space, and they really didn't know what kind of maladies they would suffer from. So in 1962, space travel... wasn't what you call an exact science. NASA only a few years old, and nobody really knew how humans would cope outside the atmosphere. Well, now 50 years later, After his historic orbit, John Glenn recalls what his doctors thought would happen in zero gravity. Physicians worried that, among other maladies, Glenn's eyeballs would deform from the lack of gravity and prevent him from piloting the escape vehicle if he needed to make an emergency reentry. They also believed that his inner ears would cease to function, resulting in paralyzing vertigo. That, you know, I can kind of see the logic in that. You know, your inner ears are for balance and whatnot.
You get a cold and go take a flight. You'll feel it.
Yep. And they thought he'd be unable to swallow without the aid of Earth's pull.
Yeah.
If Glenn was worried, he didn't let it on. Thankfully, his flight aboard Friendship 7 on February 20th, 1962 was a complete success. He categorized the concerns as so primitive now, they're almost laughable during his address at NASA. We've got a link to the video where he's talking about that. It was kind of funny.
You know, I will say, it takes a special kind of man to hear those concerns and still go up there.
Oh, absolutely.
If they're saying, you know, if you take this job, it's possible you won't hear anymore and you may not be able to swallow. And
your eyeballs will get sucked back in your head.
Yeah. You ever seen that movie Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Maybe that's the real reason why they came out with Viagra.
Moving along.
Dead silence. We're going to end it there and go to the media corner. Be right back.
He can compile C with his bare hands. He speaks the binary language of moisture evaporators in three dialects. He invented binary. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friends.
Hi, this is Erin Gray, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Okay, you and I both saw this and had the same idea. This is a giant drivable R2-D2, which could be the most awesomest Make-A-Wish ever granted. The Make-A-Wish Foundation does some pretty awesome things, right?
Sure they do.
You know, for kids that have life-threatening conditions. But all of the wishes I've seen granted over the years, this giant drivable R2-D2 ranks pretty close to being the most amazing. It almost makes me wish I were dying, like we said at the top of the show, so that I could drive this.
Sadly, I was thinking, my first thought was, this is the first time I would actually want to tromp on one of those kids that is getting his wish and take it for a spin myself.
Out of the way, short stuff. I'm giving myself cancer for this thing.
Okay. That's...
I never said we were nice.
Oh, boy.
And you know how we've played a few of these in the past? I think it started with the Imperial March on floppy drives, right? People are using old floppy drives and controllers to make them.
Yeah.
Right? And we played the Tron song a few weeks ago.
Sure.
Well, I think this one is my most favoritist so far. This is 8 floppy drives playing Pirates of the Caribbean. This is just... probably sounds better in real life.
Hold on. Techno.
This is just amazing. You can get 8 floppy drives to even do this.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Can't you just see, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow running on the beach or something?
Yeah.
I will get this song stuck in your head all week.
There's like a techno version of it. It's a rap in it. No, I won't do that.
There is a video available. Links at the show notes if you want to listen to the whole thing. But just wanted to throw that out there. I know it would get a little annoying. It's only a minute and 26 seconds. There's a video of all 8 of these moving. It is from a distance, so you can kind of see the head mechanisms moving back and forth. But I like that. That's my favorite so far, just because it uses 8 floppy drives. I want to see somebody go to 10 or 20, see what you can get a whole orchestra going.
Oh, Great. So we're going. You're throwing out a challenge.
Beethoven's Fifth.
They should open up a floppy symphony.
So the 3.5-inch symphony.
Yeah, throw some 5 1/4s in there for, you know, just old school.
All right.
What the chuck?
What's up with that?
It's that time again when we have something for me to rant about. This came in from 2 listeners, not just one. And I saw this on the news feeds and I just went, maybe. But when Mike Wills and Will Shattuck, Will, sent this in, I couldn't resist ranting about it. It says, Canadian digs out basement using only radio-controlled scale tractors and trucks. Since 2005!
Wait a minute.
He's been doing this for like 6-7 years, digging out his basement, dirt in his basement, with radio-controlled trucks. Now, you know, it would have been a lot quicker if you just grabbed a shovel and done it yourself. But, hey, you know, if you've got the RC vehicles to do this, it looks cool. Well, there's a whole slew of videos on here, and if you look at some of them, you could put in some real sound effects, like diesel sounds. And it would look like a real truck cruising around here, because he's got the close-up.
That looks, you know, to scale.
It does look to scale, and it's going to take him forever to finish this job, if it ever is finishable at all. But there's a picture of him sitting there with his radio controller driving around the, you know, the belly loader or whatever you call those trucks.
What would have been really cool if it was all automated, you know, the computer was operating.
Like a programmable controller was driving these things. You'd still need to have some variation to know where to scoop, because, you know, you can't scoop the same place for very long.
I would tell you, I would not want to sit there.
No.
And play project manager with the
Hey, you slackers, get back to work.
Well, I would like to come in and say, yeah, they're doing their job, and let the computer just kind of handle it.
Does he have one RC controller for each vehicle? That's what I'm curious about.
I need to watch the video, because I just saw where they were digging.
This is from carscoop.blogspot.com. Excavating a basement using professional machinery is nothing new, but doing it with radio-controlled, scaled models is something unheard of. Welcome to the little big world of Joe from Saskatchewan, Canada. We welcome you, Joe. We honor you. We wonder what you're doing. For the past 7 years, Joe has been digging out his basement at an average annual rate of 8 to 9 cubic feet using nothing more. Annual rate of 8 to 9 cubic feet using nothing more than RC tractors and trucks.
It's this much. 8 to 9 cubic feet to scale.
And we're talking about the whole 9 yards here. He started transporting the excavator on an RC truck to the basement, unloads it, digs, and uses other trucks to transfer the dirt up to the ground through the spiral ramp. He even uses a miniature rock crusher. This is his quote. I feel quite fortunate to have stumbled onto the basement excavating idea. It's been a great pastime to date, dreaming up new ideas to tackle different projects along the way, Joe wrote on the Scale 4x4 RC forums when he also posted pictures and video of his feet. It's been a great hobby thus far, dreaming up building all sorts of different miniature equipment from kits or from scratch. Okay, now that's getting impressive if he's doing these things from scratch, because these are some awesome looking vehicles. For this mining project, you know, if I were a mining company, I'd probably want to hire this guy.
How can you rant about this, Chuck?
Because it seems like an awful lot of time for just excavating your basement.
Okay. And you're now concerned about people's personal time?
Cool is one thing. If I were a mining or a quarry or something, I'd be looking to hire this guy because he obviously knows what he's doing.
Sure.
But seriously, folks, it says, what is the law? 10,000 hours and you're an expert at something? Congratulations, Joe. You're an expert at shoveling out your basement with toys.
Miniatures.
Right. Put that on your resume and smoke it.
I think it's pretty cool. If he wants to spend his time like that, good for him. Yeah,
then again, there are a lot of people who are experts at things like TV shows. Oh, man, that makes us experts at podcasting.
Ah, I'm scared.
Turning to the Geek Library, we have from a long time ago. I was curious whether to put this in the Geek Library or Remember When. But since we already had 2 Remember When things in there, I put it down here. This is Thomas Edison's job interview test. Could you have passed? I'm going to skip past all the narrative. But you know how some companies have a test and they're known for their twist, mind-blowing, twisting tests that you have to pass. You know, some of them are psychological. Some of them are very technical. Well, here, I did not read the answers to these, so let's see how we do on these. Who is Francis Marion?
Revolutionary War.
What'd he do?
He was a military officer.
Was he? Okay, I'll trust you on that one. Where is the River Volga?
It's in Europe somewhere.
I thought it was Russia, but I could be slightly off on that. Who invented logarithms?
Hold on, let me look at Wikipedia here.
No. You couldn't do that in Edison's day.
No, you couldn't.
You know what I would have answered? Because I have no clue. It would have been like lumberjack rhythms. What is the first line of the Aeneid?
Oh my gosh, I have no idea.
Me neither. What war material did Chile export to the Allies during the war? Which war?
Gunpowder?
Which war? Dude!
Well, I mean, think of his time.
A civil war? Spanish-American war?
I would say it was gunpowder.
Who was the Roman emperor when Jesus Christ was born? I know.
You do?
Herod. There were actually two Herods mentioned in there, but...
That's right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Where is the Sargasso Sea?
In Europe?
No. It's in the doldrums. It's where there's no wind to, like, no, the currents just kind of circulate, and you get all that seaweed and stuff gathering on the surface. It's where baby sea turtles
nowadays
go.
Nowadays, it's just it's sea trash.
Yeah, it's the Pacific junkyard. Of what is brass made?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's made of an earth-based material?
No, I believe it's copper and tin and something else. I can't remember. Who was Leonidas?
He was the dude in
300.
Right.
You got it. That's what I was just about to grab my 300 sign, but it's off the shelf right now. Who discovered the X-ray?
Bruce Banner?
No, that was gamma ray overdose.
Oh yeah, gamma
was it Roentgen? I could be wrong on that. Roentgen may have just figured out a way to measure it. Where do we get shellac?
From the Lowe's.
I thought it came from a resin of a tree. From Lowe's. Why is cast iron called pig iron? I know.
All right, spit it out.
It's because when you cast it, they cast it into little ingots that were like the size of pigs, and they called them pigs. So that's why it's called pig iron. I learned that from shipwreck diving. Who was Bessemer, and what did he do? I know this one, too.
Henry Bessemer.
He created the process of making steel.
Mm.
Okay, so... We probably wouldn't be working for Edison. We would have got booted out on logarithms.
No, we would, but we'd be in the mailroom.
Who was Leonidas?
300.
Movies, man. It's the future. I'll have to look into this movie thing.
Hey, man. He did invent the movie projector. Just
kind of start. No. Go read the history of Edison. He did not invent a lot of things. He was like Steve Jobs. He just reinvented a lot of things and made them more marketable.
Now, he did come up with a lot of concepts and other people worked on them.
He didn't make the incandescent light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about him. It's kind of like Ben Franklin, man. Everybody thinks they know what he did, but he did not. Okay, we're not going to turn this into a history lesson.
Here you go. C. Francis Jenkins and Thomas Aramat invented the film projector called the Vitascope and asked Edison to supply the films and manufacture the projector under his name. Eventually, the Edison Company developed its own. Known as the projectoscope. And stopped marketing the Vitascope. Huh.
Haha. See?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. You can learn a lot.
Who was that didn't we talk about it? There was a big thing about when developing the record player.
Yeah, that was another one. He did not.
He kept rejecting it. It'll never work. And then, this works great. Yeah,
he didn't come out with that. He had wax cylinders, and that eventually died off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. April Fool's is still a little bit of a ways off, but it's not too early to start thinking about fooling people. Here's a great way to troll someone's computer. This apparently is for Windows machines. Step one, print screen the desktop. Step two, rotate it 180 degrees, which you can do like in MS Paint. Step three, set it as the wallpaper. Step four, right-click on the desktop, go to View, unclick Show Desktop Icons so that the old icons and the new icons aren't there. Step five, auto-hide the taskbar so they can't click the icons or the taskbar. Final step, right-click on the desktop, go to Screen Resolution, then change orientation to Landscape, which will flip the thing. Now, when they move the mouse up, the cursor will go down. But everything looks cool because the icons are there and everything. You move it down, it goes up. It'll totally blow their mind.
That is pretty funny.
I like that. That's a good one.
If I had somebody's password now, I'd go do it. But
you don't have like a local admin override thing? Oh, wait. Now that it just says this person will be logged out.
Yeah. I did a long time ago use the registry remotely and change the guy's all his colors to black. That was pretty bad.
All right, this wasn't much. I know I don't generally do images too much on Technorama because this is an audio program.
I don't do images, but when I do,
they're funny. This is just one that I had to get, and I'll put the link in the show notes.
Sorry. I just saw it.
Yeah. There's a 5-hour energy van, and inside, both people are asleep. That wraps up the show.
So much for eating your own dog food, right?
Or they overdosed. Who knows? Yeah. This is what it'll do to your life.
You drink so much of it, you just... asleep.
Dead. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call Listen Line, as I mentioned before, 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can find us on Twitter, C. Tomasi, Step K, Technorama, Google+, all the usual places where you look. Just go over to chuckchat.com, click on Technorama. You'll find out all the other stuff we got over there. Special thanks to Mad Mar for providing all the great blog content during the week. Everyone who sent us links during this week, Mike Wills and Will Shattuck and everybody else. Thank you for joining us in the Hangout. We did get a few more people during the show. And thank you, loyal listener, for downloading and listening. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at Farpoint Media. Go over there, check it out, farpointmedia.com. I'm sure you'll find something you like. If you're getting the show the old-fashioned way by clicking on the link on the website, consider subscribing for free to get the show automatically delivered to you. It's cheap, free, and easy. Drop either one of us an email if you want to know more. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and as always, a binary high five.
101.
He says it with such authority.
Yes,
yeah, I do.